The United States of America, known as Land of the Free, Home of the Brave, has come to symbolize freedom throughout the world. People from all nations and from all walks of life have called the United States home. The United States has welcomed them with open arms. Indeed, the famed Statue of Liberty is the embodiment of this dream. In New York's public education system alone, its student body represents 145 countries. The United States has a deep affinity with Supreme Master Ching Hai. With her boundless love and compassion, Supreme Master Ching Hai has provided humanitarian assistance to many parts of the United States. In 1993, she sent relief teams to provide financial and material assistance to the victims of the six Midwestern states that were severely affected by heavy rain and flooding. On December 27, 1997, at the benefit concert, A Journey Through Aesthetic Realms, Supreme Master Ching Hai generously contributed $100,000 each to the Vietnam Children's Fund and the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. The following year, at another benefit concert, One World of Peace Through Music, she once more contributed generously, with two charity organizations being the recipients of her love. St. Jude Children's Research Hospital received $150,000 and the Starlight Children's Foundation received a check for $100,000. Additionally, in the face of one of the worst human tragedies ever to occur on U.S. soil, on September 11, 2001, Supreme Master Ching Hai responded immediately, sending relief teams from around the country and all over the world to Ground Zero in New York City. Supreme Master Ching Hai's financial contributions amounted to over $300,000 to organizations aiding the victims. To this day, Supreme Master Ching Hai continues to extend her loving compassion to all parts of the U.S., from Virginia, Ohio, Kentucky, and Alabama, to California, Florida, Texas, Hawaii, and other states. We now invite you to listen to the following lecture by Supreme Master Ching Hai entitled, How Did the War Start? In New York, USA on March 6, 1991.
My friends, let's have a few minutes to pray for your noble work, that you will fulfill your mission, and to pray for the peace that we all work for, and then we will start. You pray in your own way, with your eyes closed. Contact your God inside. Thank you. I'm very honored to be here, the best place in the world, and see the most selected and intelligent people of our nations. So welcome to the United Nations. I've told our president here that the United Nations is probably the best thing after sliced bread. And she says she has never heard anyone use that before. I say, I also don't use it, except when in the right place, because I'm afraid people don't understand. And also, there's not many things that are better than sliced bread. But United Nations truly is. I have read some of the works that you have done for the world, and I pray that God will bless you with full health, power, and intelligence in order to carry out your work again. I do not feel like I'm a first time here, or first time I'm speaking to you. Feel very close and friendly. So, it's probably I have been here before. Or we have been in the United Nations Conference and many other lives, who knows. Yeah. I saw the entrance in the taxi before I came here. So it might not be the first time that we are together. Someone of the United Nations has invited me to come here to address the assembly. And it seems a long time now. Must be 8 months. It has been a long time. And at that time, I wasn't thinking of coming here at all. When I was asked, I said, well, maybe. Let's see. But then, because first I was thinking, well, the people who work in the United Nations, they probably have different interests than my interest. Yeah, I'm just for spiritual. And the United Nations people, they're probably working in the circle political. That's what I was thinking. But then later I thought, well, I cannot think that way. Yeah, political is not the sole issue of the United Nations. They have worked in a humanitarian and in many other kind of relief for the world and have peace. And they also practice meditation too. So I thought it would be the time for me to come in and to understand more about your work and also to have a nice talk together. Yes. It should not be that we let the United Nations shoulder every burden and responsibility and blame or whatever. And everyone should work together with the United Nations because we are also citizens of the world. And no one just should stand outside and watch the United Nations work, whether failures or success, and then blame them or criticize. And should come in and work together. That's what I think. Therefore, I came here today. Whether I could help or not, that is another question. This is God's will, but my good will is with you. Therefore, I study your books, your pamphlets, and whatever I can get to be in the United Nations. The one of the member, the invisible member, the volunteer. So here I am, you have a new member. Thank you. So someone has suggested that we talk something about war and peace, since it is the current theme of the world. So I would be brief about war and then be long about peace. You see, every one of us know about war, but not truly know what is the cause for it? And how should we eliminate? And it sounds a novel, a fairy tale, but we can do it. We can eliminate. Because after a while, people will be tired of war, whether the winner or the loser. Because one of those biggest warriors like Alexander the Great, Napoleon, and Arjuna of India, they were tired too. So how would we, the modern wearers, would not be tired? And we will learn in time how to avoid these things. But if we want to avoid, it's not only our will be done, as God will. We must act according to what God wants. And in order to know what God wants, we have to be prepared. Prepared in our speech, in our body and mind, to listen to what God says and not to what we say. We always pray for peace and we didn't know what God speaks to us, how to get peace. Therefore, we do not understand how to go about, even though everyone knows, everyone likes to stop the war and to preserve peace in the world. And the United Nations are the first agency to worry much about war, to put most of the effort to regain peace, as it has always been doing since the founding day. Yes. I doubt if the world would have been as it is today without United Nations. Even though we still have war and some famine or refugees problems, but without the United Nations, I think it would be worse. You could not run your perfect work without the cooperation of many of the nations. And this is not the entire fault of the United Nations if we still have war and other issues of political and sovereign issues at the moment, because some members of the world just refuse to cooperate. And that I know is very difficult for such a unit like United Nations to move the whole world when some of them just stay there, stamp their feet like children and just doesn't listen. Just do their way and want their way. Well, that I'm very sorry that the work of the United Nations is a very, very tough, very difficult, delicate, and needs a lot of patience, diplomacy, and strength. And God may bless you with all this in any time you need. When Alexander the Great died, he has instructed that his subordinate should put him in the coffin with both hands stretched out, empty, to teach the later generation not to go into war, not to accumulate any possession, because when we die, we have nothing. But it is said that some of the members or the citizens of our world or some of the nation does not fully understand this lesson. Let's hope they will. Most of people who make war are the ones who are too well protected, who speak from their own chamber, from their own sofa, and who does not go out into the front to fight in the danger. Therefore, they bring forth this kind of disaster to other people, including their own, because they do not sense truly what danger is in the battle and what suffering means when one is wounded or tormented by the casualty of the war. When Napoleon Bonaparte of France was standing in the battlefield between France and Austria, he was so shocked and so hurt because of the casualty. It's about 15,000 soldiers dying, both sides. And he wrote a very desperate letter to the King of Austria at that time, said, "Please let us make peace. Let us stop the war." Because he wrote to him, to the king, that you have not been in the battle like I have, so you don't know what it is to stand here alone with the 15,000 corpses around you and seeing all the suffering every day of the soldiers. And that is not all. How about those who stays behind? Yes, I think most of you have watched the film Born on the 4th of July. And you have known what it is like. The after effect also, not only the immediate effect. A radio station who interviewed me a few days ago in Texas, he asked me, is the war good or not? Should we, as a spiritual people, kind of not resort to war like what we do now in the Middle East? I said we should stop the course, not the consequence. It's too late. If we don't want orange, we should never plant orange seeds in the ground. Or at least we should never water it, or take it, pluck it out of the ground when it was little. But some people like to nourish the war, for whatever reason you might know. Sometimes, they said to me, some of the people that I know, they said to me, well, we have to take care of the people of this country. Therefore, we have to make a war in order to have the benefit thereof for our country. That is very good, very patriotic from saying viewpoint. But as a long run and from spiritual standpoint, it is a loss because later on, the bad karma will come. The karma is the consequence of what we saw. Like in the Bible, it says, as you sow, so shall you reap. When the cause is no good, the consequence cannot be good. If we try to make money or fame or to nourish a group of people our nation by the benefit of the war. Then later, that cause will also feed back on us and we become the victim. We cannot sow an orange and get an apple. That is the physical law of this world. And as long as we are in the physical world, we must obey the physical law. No one can avoid that, even if he is a Buddha or a Jesus Christ, let alone we, the ordinary beings. Therefore, the people who make war do not study much the Bhagavad Gita, the doctrine of the law of karma, and they might not even glance at the Bible, which says, as you sow, so shall you reap. Long time ago, when the Buddha was alive, he told a very interesting story of how war has been started and caused since a very ancient time, since people began to appear on this earth. The cause of war, the seeds of war has been sown already. So now what we are having every day is just a consequence of that, a continued consequence, or a very unavoidable series of chain work. The story is like this. In the beginning of time, after this world of ours has been destroyed, and there's nothing here, everyone's gone to different worlds according to their desires and their tendency when they were still in this world. So some were sent to probably a more miserable condition. Some will sleep for a long time. Some go to so-called heaven. Most of people who are virtuous go to a place called Guanyin Planet. Guanyin has nothing to do with our method, okay? That is a place called Guanyin. Now, people stay there in glory for long, 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 inimaginable period of time. And after that, this planet came into being. First, it was just nebulous and uninhabitable. After a long, long period of time, you must imagine there's a long, 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 long stretch of billion, billions of ages. And then this world came into being. And then slowly, those people who stay in this so-called Guanyin planet, the first one appear in this world. At that time, this world has no leader, no being, nothing. And then one of the beings from that higher planet saw this world empty. But the thorn was ready. Yeah, so he came down. So that was the first we call Brahma. Yeah. Well, according to the story, the Buddha said it. And then suddenly he saw alone. Alone, no good. He said, I wish some more beings to come to me. Yeah. So then they come. All these beautiful people from the Guanyin planet. They call it Guanyin because in that planet, people live nourished by light and sound only. They are not in necessity of solid food like we do now. Okay, so slowly, many of them came to this world and settled down. When they came here, they live in light and glory. They can fly anywhere they want, then be in everywhere instantly. There is no need for vehicles or any physical transportation. No need for any language. They still understood each other perfectly, and they still be very free in their own way and in their glory. And they live in glory for long, 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 long ages, trillions of years. And then slowly this world became more solidified and more beautiful and more visible and more glorious. And then some of these beings walk around the sea or fly around the seas, the seashores, and saw some kind of form from the sea. And this form looked so beautiful, so shining, and smelled so nice. A lot of very strange fragrance emanate from this kind of form which floats on the sea. Some of them were curious, and they just land down and they taste some of it. Never saw this thing before. It has never appeared before. First they look, And it's so beautiful. And the smell is so irresistible. So they taste it. And it was so nice. They never eat anything before. And they didn't think they need it. They didn't think there's such thing so nice and tasty. So they eat more and more. And so slowly everyone knows about this beautiful form on the sea, which is tastes good and smell nice and beautiful. So they all came and eat them. And the more they eat, the more they became heavy. They changed their appearance. They changed their power. And slowly they cannot fly very long distance anymore. And slowly their light, their aura became shorter, duller in color. But they wouldn't notice that much. Anyhow, it's too late to change. It's too good. So the more they eat, the more they want. So they cannot stop eating. And after everybody eats, the form's gone. Too much eating, gone. And then something else appear on earth. A kind of wheat that grows all over places. And anyone can take it and eat them. Kind of crawling wheat. So people like it also, because there are no more forms. And they try the wheat. The wheat's also very tasty and nice and beautiful and fragrant. So they eat, and everybody eat. And the more they eat these, the coarser their body and spirit became. They could hardly fly anymore, and their physical body began to change into the worst, not the better. They were beautiful and glorious before. Now they look more coarse, and some sounds begin to emanate from their mouth now. There was no need to speak before. Now they must make some sound in order for the neighbor to understand. It's just some bubbling, but it has been the sound now. And they could not stop eating now. It's become like an addict. Oh, it's so beautiful, so good. So they keep eating. After that, something else came, and the wheat's no more. The beautiful wheat no more there. And they go searching around for something else to eat. And the earth offer something else, like what we have as rice or wheat. The earth begin to offer this kind of thing. And people eat them. But these things grow outside in the field, and where they live, they have to walk to the distance and take this home. They weren't ready all over places like before. So they take them home and eat them, and everyone has enough every day. But slowly people begin to be lazy. And they say, why should I go every day to the field and get what I need? I take it enough for 2 days, or 3 days, and I don't need to go every day. So he took 3 days. And the other neighbors see and do the same thing, and the neighbors do the same thing. And other people are more greedy, take for 10 days, and the other take for 20 days. So slowly the wheat are gone out of supply because everybody takes much more than they need. After a while, they started trouble because the one who has a lot fearful of the one who doesn't have, and they become stealing and things like that. So now a council has been formed by the people to settle all this dispute and to make the law. That's the first government of the world because of eating. Nothing more noble. Okay. And then they have divided the earth into different pieces. Now this one is for Mr. So-and-so, this one is Mrs. So-and-so, and no one should violate. But the more they eat these things, the coarser they became, and their body began to change. So some change into woman shape, some change into man shape, what we call man and woman nowadays. Before, there weren't any shape. Everyone is exactly the same, live in glory and love together. There's no physical attraction between each other. But after they eat all these things too much and fighting and stealing and disputing, other things began to change so tragically. And then people begin to look at each other with wonder and attraction. Those who eat less still be more beautiful. And those who eat more became more ugly. The ugly chase after the beauty. The beauty should be the woman. Probably we eat less. Therefore, until now, the woman still called the beauty. So then the men, so-called men, began to chase after women because they're more beautiful. Everyone loves beauty because we were born beautiful. We were from the beauty. That's why up till now, everyone loves beauty. And all the women put all this beautiful makeup on just because they remember deep down in their memories that they have been beautiful. Or their real self is beautiful. So whatever their appearance on earth, they're not satisfied. And other men too, however beautiful his wife is, he still likes to look at the other beauties. Because he remember in the old day, everyone is beautiful, more beautiful than his wife even. So he cannot be satisfied with looking at one beauty. That's the cause of unfaithfulness. It's not that he's really bad. It's just the instinct nature inside us. Even the greed and the love of beauty, hoarding of money and possession, it all came from the noble root that we have been in a more glorious world where things are all in plenty, where things are there, not for the asking. We just have what we need without asking even. And we were all beautiful and glorious. That's why we still love these things, all shining jewels and our makeup, and love beautiful men, love beautiful women, and like have a luxurious life. It is because we had them before, and we miss them now. Therefore, we try to get them back as much as we can, as much as our ability here can afford us. Therefore, all these so-called bad habits and instincts in men stem from a very noble root. Should we know it, we would feel more sorry for us than to blame us or to accuse our man or woman for chasing after beauty or hoarding money. So once we understand this through spiritual practice, we will leave all these things. We will have them, but we will not crave for them. Whatever we have, we satisfy and use them, but we will not be a slave for them, and we will not crave and not try all means to get them and maybe start the war because of these. Now, after these things have happened, people begin chasing each other, yeah? And then physical attraction began to happen, and then they start to have couples. And then other people who look at these wonder why it never happened like this before. I wonder why one being do this thing to the other being. But then, so these people are ashamed, attracted to each other physically and doing things physically. They are ashamed, so they have to go out of the city of the inhabitant and build a hut or build a cave. So a house began to spring up. And then separate dormitory began to appear. That's how it happened. And that's how we started our history, according to Buddha. I don't know if the story is true or not. I wasn't there. I might be there, but it's too long now. Billions, trillions of years who remember all these things, who want to remember, right? So now, after that, because people started to build houses and then hoarding for themselves and divided land, and then things began to get worse because some people who are diligent plan a lot of things and have a good corpse. And other people who are lazy come in to steal. And so that's how it begins with a war. And it goes on until now. Because those who have a lot and those who have too little. Have a lot doesn't want to share with those who have too little. Those who have a lot because of diligent working, looking down upon those who doesn't have because of laziness or maybe misfortune. So the Buddha concluded that the cause of war is the lack of sharing between people and the greed within us. And someone who likes to take too much and left none for others. So nowadays, in the modern time, scientists have made some research and they thought the cause of war may be the starvation. Many countries starve and many countries have too much. Things like that. But not really, we don't really have too much. We just use it wrongly and waste. So they make a research. For example, someone told me in Toronto, he had a restaurant. He has a vegetarian restaurant and a vegetarian magazine. He told me that according to a research, if in Northern America, each person eat vegetarian meal once a week only, then we have enough food to feed 60 million people a year. And I was startled. I said, how can it be? But they work out that way. Not because of the food. There's so many concerning with food. Because the land had to be cultivated, and now it's wasted for the cow feeding, and all the water supply, all the medicine for the cows or the pigs or whatever, and all the transportation, everything concerned with meat diet had reportedly wasted a lot of human substance, and that is the cause of starvation of many countries. It takes a lot of food, or protein, medicine, transport, water to feed a cow. And these things came from underdeveloped country too. And this protein and food could have been fed and could have been distributed in a different way in order to feed the whole world instead of feeding a cow, and we eat a cow. It's secondhand stuff anyhow. So nowadays, many people believe that vegetarian diet can save the world and minimize a lot of war. And I think I do not oppose this idea. Maybe in the future, very near future, we should try at least to see how it works, and then we can comment. But I believe it will work, provided each of us support it and try to cooperate. It is understood that not everyone will cooperate. Since the beginning of time, not all of us cooperate, because all of us want to be the boss. Somehow, in our own way, in our own environment, we always like to be the boss. Why is it? It's not bad either. It is also from a noble root that we have been in power. We have been angels, we have been saints, we have been in heaven, where everything's under our command. And now we have lost our way and stepped down to this physical world and lost some of our powers, most of our power. So we crave for power. But the thing is, we crave and find power in the wrong way. And it harms us more than offers us power. That's all. So the way to get back our power is to purify ourselves, to get in touch with God. And I have done it myself, and I can say that I have succeeded to some extent. So it is not an empty words what I am telling you, but it is from experience. And should you like to try that, it is recommendable. You may try to find your own way, do it yourself, or you might try to find someone who you think is intelligent enough, experienced enough to guide you in order to get in touch with our real power. Once we have that real power, we have everything else. Or even if we don't have everything else, we are satisfied. That's what it is. Not that we have the whole world in our hands, but we're satisfied with whatever we have. And we will not crave for things of the neighbors. We will not be too attached to the things of this world, but we will have in plenty. Truly, it is like that. I have read in the Bible, it said that, seek you first the kingdom of God, other things will be added unto you. That I have found out the truth. It is the whole truth. And in Buddhist Bible, in Surangama Sutra, for example, it is said also that once we get in touch with this inner Buddha nature through practicing the Kuan Yin method, the worldly things will go on smoothly too. Other things also we can have. And this I also find out that it is the truth too. Therefore, every Bible says similar things. And you can find plenty other examples in the Indian scriptures or Jewish scriptures and everything. That's why we heard that the rich people are blessed by God. It might be true in some sense. But the richness of this world have not always the symbol of the blessing of God. It just denoted our virtuous way of life in the last period of our existence, before this existence, and that's all. The blessing of God came directly with our virtues, even once we are contacted with this God power. Now, to sum it shortly, I have to tell you what is God. According to Christian Bible, God is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And this is what we call the yin, the vibration, or the Tao, or the Buddha nature, or the South Current in Buddhist terminology, or in other Hindu terminology. And once we get in touch with the so-called Word, we are in touch with God, because the Word was God. And once we're in touch with this God, because God is not a figure with a long beard or a stick saying there, telling whom what to do. But God is a power, a loving current that we could use to mold our life and to make things come into being by this creative substance. Therefore, the one who are in touch with God, everything they wish come true. And the one who is not in touch with God, doesn't matter he pray for how long, things hardly come into their life, because they're not in touch with what they want to talk to. If we want to talk to our friend and the telephone is disconnected, or we are too far away from the telephone, we didn't pick it up, how can we talk to them, or to the police, or whatever? Yes, therefore we must make first the connection and then wish.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today on Words of Wisdom. Please keep your dial tuned here to Supreme Master Television for Models of Success right after Noteworthy News. May the Providence guide your life in nobility, wisdom, and love.